Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
We've been in this series called For the Culture. Because, man, if you don't dictate your culture will dictate itself. It happens by default or by design, but we know our values, so we are intentional about the culture that we have as a Cool Church family. So today, we want to jump into the sixth value. We have seven, so we're jumping into the sixth value today, and I'm so excited about it. And we're going to read the same passage that we started with every week from Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. But I also want you to put your finger on 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. So we're going to start at Philippians 4, and then we'll go to 1 Peter. So why don't you read the verses
for
us,
Lo? Absolutely. So Philippians 4, 8 through 9, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Beautiful. I still love that, man. Mm-hmm. It's really about focusing, what you put your focus on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to look at 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins."
Amen.
"Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling.
Mm.
Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others." I think that's a place where you should say amen and probably underline that.
Amen.
"Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen."
Amen, amen. Well, I hope you caught it from us reading that last verse, but today the value we're going to talk about is service.
Yes.
Service. So, love, why don't you pray?
Father God, I thank you for yet another gathering, a time that we get to gather in your name, Lord. I pray that my brothers and sisters, Lord, may hear this word, Lord, that it may affect their hearts, their minds, and inspire them to action, God. Lord, right now we're praying for transformation in this time, Lord, as we lean into your word. Bless this message, Lord. I pray that we lie down and that you rise up. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. And before we keep it moving, take about 5 seconds wherever you are. I need you to give Jesus some praise. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on. You. I see you. I can see you. Come on. Get up. Okay. Yes, Lord. Thank you,
Come
Jesus.
On.
Hallelujah. Come on, man. We got to get excited about Jesus
because that's energy in the house.
Why we are here. So we've been in this series For the Culture, saying if you don't define culture, culture will define itself. And we've been reading out of Philippians 4:8, Paul writing that verse to the Philippian church. And, you know, he's like, hey, what I need you to think about the proper things, because there was a culture that I set when I developed the church, but things that have been shifting. I need you to focus on the things that we set up. I need you to be intentional about what type of church you want to be. He says, whatever you've seen in me or heard in me or learned from me, put that into practice. So you focus on the right things, you put them into practice, and the promise is attached to that. And the God of peace will be with you. Do you want to know how to have peace during COVID, during the economic crisis, during racism? If you want to know how to have peace, you got to put your values into practice. And that's what we've been talking about. Now, this is the seventh week now, the sixth value, but the seventh week we've been talking about this. And I love Paul because here's what he's really trying to tell us. if you know what matters most to you, you're going to attract what's most important to you. So we at Cool Church, we have defined what is important to us, and that is what we are attracting. You're gonna attract the vibes that you put out in life. You're gonna reap what you sow. So we wanna focus on positive things.
Absolutely.
So that we reap those positive things. And today, the value that I really wanna lean into is service. Man, this is probably one of my favorite, man, because if you know me, my pet peeve in life is I don't like when people are inconsiderate. I don't like when people are selfish, but I love when people serve.
Yeah.
Because you got to have compassion. You got to see people to serve them. And I don't know about you, but have you ever been somewhere where you've gotten exceptional service?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I love when places serve well. I love to travel. We haven't been able to do that for a while, but I can't wait till we can do that again. But one of my favorite hotels to stay at when we travel, and I've stayed there. I stayed there a couple times. It's been beautiful. Is the Ritz-Carlton? Oh my goodness! When you stay at the Ritz-Carlton, listen, y'all. I'm a simple man, but man, sometimes you just gotta enjoy some things in life. And when you stay at the Ritz-Carlton, you know why I like the Ritz-Carlton? Because they don't know how much money is in my bank account. They don't know what I do for a living. But they treat me like the most distinguished person of all time. I feel like a dignitary when I walk into the Ritz-Carlton, because as I step out of my car from the valet to the concierge, they once they know my name, hello, Mr. Wilson. How are you? See, people don't even call me Mr. Wilson. They're like, all right, Terrence. All right, T. But when I get to the Ritz, they say, hello, Mr. Wilson. How are you doing today, Mr. Wilson? How may I serve you, Mr. Wilson? It was a pleasure to serve you, Mr. Wilson. Like, they make me feel so at home when I go in there. I start asking for stuff that don't make no sense just because I want to see if they're going to do it. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, yeah, can I get a bag of green M&Ms? Like, they're like, all green bag? Yes. I would like a green bag of M&M. So, okay, Mr. Wilson, it is our pleasure. We will see what we can do. I promise you, I'm not making this up. They will come back with a tray of green M&Ms for you. Why? Because no is not an option at the Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah.
They do whatever they gotta do to make sure that you feel like a distinguished guest. And I love it because there's two things that they always say to me. Say, how can I serve you, Mr. Wilson? And it was a pleasure to serve you, Mr. Wilson.
Wow.
And a buddy of mine works in management at the Ritz-Carlton. His name's Alan. I love him to death. Hey, Cayman Islands crew, how y'all doing?
Come on.
He's always there when I go. And I'm like, Alan, hey, man, like, I love this place. Like, I don't want to leave. I want to live here. But, like, what is the key to this exceptional service that you guys have? And he laughs. He laughed last time I asked him, and he pulled a card out of his pocket. And the Ritz-Carlton has a creed that they live by. And every person from the parking lot to upper management, they all have this card, and they all follow this creed. And the creed is this: we are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. I read that. I was like, nah, man, this is like next level. And I love that, right?
Yeah.
Because before they could treat you well, before they can treat you like a distinguished guest, they have already established.
Come on.
They are distinguished.
Absolutely.
There's a regalness to the way that they serve. Why? Because they say that we are ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you something. There's no valets at the Ritz-Carlton. There's no doorman at the Ritz-Carlton. There's no concierge at the Ritz-Carlton. There's no chefs at the Ritz-Carlton. There's no towel boys or girls at the Ritz-Carlton. No, there's ladies and gentlemen.
Beautiful.
And because they believe that they are ladies and gentlemen, then they know that they are charged with treating every guest that walks into that place like a lady or a gentleman. Even me saying those words, when you call someone, hello, my lady. Like, it's just so respectful. When somebody calls me a gentleman, excuse me, fine gentleman, it just makes me feel distinguished. And when you know you are a lady or a gentleman, then you treat somebody as such. And I found that it was so beautiful because here's the thing. When you know that you are a lady or a gentleman, if somebody does not act like a lady or a gentleman, you won't undignify yourself to stoop down to their level. Ooh. Their service is not based on if I act like a lady or a gentleman. Their service is based on the fact that they know that they are ladies and gentlemen, so they will treat me the way that they would honor and respect their own self.
I love that.
That's not just beautiful. That is biblical.
Yeah.
I love what the Bible says in Romans 12:10 through 13. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. So once again, even when you're not acting right, you still give people honor above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in the hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's what ladies and gentlemen do. We practice hospitality. We serve at all times. And this is where the cool church servant leader motto comes from.
Yes.
And if you've been around us long enough, if you've been serving from day one, this is something that we always said. And I like to say that I made it up, but no, we borrowed it from the Ritz-Carlton.
Yes, we did.
We're not ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. No, we are brothers and sisters serving brothers and sisters. We've said that from day one. And I pray that if you've ever encountered us, you have felt the love of family because we serve you like family. We want to be treated like your family, but we treat you like family.
Absolutely.
Because we want what we are putting out. We want that in return. So the definition of service for Cool Church is we are brothers and sisters serving brothers and sisters. And we'll always be a house that serves people like family. Why? Because if you know our other values, it makes sense. One of our values is family.
Yeah.
So of course we're gonna treat you like that. And last week, one of our values is honor. So we're gonna serve the family with honor. Why? Because when we serve that way, we are serving based upon the values of the house. We're called to serve everybody, no matter where they come from, and treat them like family, no matter what they do. Because here's the truth, the greatest leaders are the greatest servants.
I love that. And the other thing I love so much about all of that is that it doesn't matter, because a lot of times people think, oh, service, I feel lower, or I have to undignify myself. But I love that even in Mark 10:45, it tells us, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many.
So what do we learn from that? That the greatest leader of the greatest movement of service, he served first.
Come on.
And his name was Jesus. We only know as Christians how to serve because Jesus modeled it first.
Absolutely.
Everything he did was about service. So we have no excuse not to serve because the leader of Christianity himself, Christ Jesus, he served us first.
Yeah.
And there's a question that I want to answer today, and it's this. How do you serve well?
Yeah.
This is where 1 Peter comes into play. Peter himself, one of the apostles, the disciples that walked and talked with Jesus in 1 Peter, he's really writing about Christians that are going through persecution and how they should respond under a time of persecution. But when he writes this, as you saw from the first thing we read in 1 Peter, it says, the end of all days is near. So he's writing with urgency.
Yeah.
He's saying, man, I think this thing is coming to an end. But as Christians, this is how we're going to behave. What is he saying? We're going to serve. So just because it's coming to an end doesn't mean that we pull our foot off the gas of service.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you serve harder knowing that it's going to come to an end.
Absolutely.
And there's three quick things that we can learn from Peter as it pertains to how to serve well. What's the first one, Joe?
The first one is that we want to make sure that to serve well, we have to serve without complaining.
Come on.
Come on. See, 1 Peter 4:9, let's go back to it. It says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling.
Yeah.
Grumbling is yet another word, a nicer word for complaining. Mm-hmm. See, so many times we may get into a place, we might have gotten into a space of serving and we had the right heart, but then things happen and we start to complain. Mm. See, complaining will take us to a place that is not where we want to be. See, has somebody ever done something for you and they complained, or you complained the whole time?
Mm-mm-mm.
I got to be honest, you know. There's a few times, like, you know, you've done stuff for me, right? And you'll do things, and I may have not necessarily been there to see what you did and everything. And so I'll get back, you know, to the house, or I might pay attention or get back into the flow of things at the house. And and I could just see you. You just kind of like...
That's what I do?
Yeah, you do this thing, like, notice anything different? And I see you kind of fishing, trying to figure out, okay, did she notice? And then when I had noticed this particular time, I remember you were going around the whole house doing all your handyman Mr. Fix-It stuff, which I love so much, and thank you, baby. I honor you, Mr. Fix-It, right?
We need counseling, y'all. Okay, go ahead.
So this time, Terrence went around and he was putting LED lights in the house, throughout the house, and he even fixed like some switcher box or something like that. And so, you know, he did all that and he's kind of like waiting for his applause, waiting for his, you know, hooray, thank you. Thank you for all you've done. And and I just didn't know. Mm. And then so here you go. So did you notice anything? And poor me, I'm just looking around like, okay. And then he's like, I switched all the LED lights and the switcher box and the this and that. And I'm like, what? And I'm sorry, Terrence, I have no idea what any of that even means. And so, of course, like, Terrence, poor thing, he spent all afternoon doing this. And like, I had no idea, because quite frankly, I don't even know what a switcher box is or does. I probably like what it does, but I had no idea what it was and how to even recognize it. Sorry. And so Terrence starts complaining. And he starts complaining, like, man, you don't even notice. That's exactly how you sound.
Wow.
So, you know, and and he's like, man, you know, I did all this work and you haven't even said anything, and like, I'm never gonna do anything for you again. That's what he does. Like, he gives this, like, you know, ultimate statement. I'll never do anything like this again.
I hope this story is going somewhere.
So anyway, so of course that's where the arguing and the and the complaining starts. And so so finally, he asks, he's like, how come you didn't say anything? How come you didn't, you know, you didn't give me props for it? And I'm like, I'm sorry, babe, but honestly, if you're going to complain, it doesn't make sense for you to do it at all. And so I think a lot of times we do stuff for people and we expect the applause. And when we don't get the applause, then we start the complaining.
Wow.
Better that you don't do anything at all. And then for you to complain when you do, and when you don't get the applause that you thought you deserved. You see, the fight really got tense because his service to me and him doing all of those things with the lights and everything wasn't necessary, or you, sorry, like you're not here, but it wasn't necessarily for me. So you were serving, initially you thought it was for me, but it was to be seen, as opposed to, we have to be careful that we're not serving to be seen.
Well, you better preach.
And so when we serve to be seen, that's when we start to get into a place, into that dangerous place where we can start complaining. So here's the lesson. I just really want us to catch this. You ready? Hospitality becomes hostile when you complain.
Wow. That's great.
See, complaining takes you from the heart of service to a heart of entitlement. See, entitlement, man, that's such a strange place to be. See, entitlement is talking about all of, about what I deserve. I deserve this. I deserve pride. I deserve to be thanked. I deserve to be repaid. And so when service gets to a place or a heart of entitlement, that's where it starts to get dangerous. See, you got to realize that you don't owe, God doesn't owe you any favors. God is, you aren't doing God any favors when you serve.
Right.
If you don't do it, if you don't do it, know that he's going to find somebody else who will.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got to be careful that when you are serving others, when you are serving the house, when you are serving the kingdom, you are doing it with the right attitude, with the right heart, and with the right spirit. Otherwise, don't do it at all.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to complain about it, don't even bother doing it.
That's right.
See, we don't want, we never want to get to a place where we start operating from a place of entitlement. See, I deserve. That's what entitlement is all about. When you start feeling like you're owed something for your service, that's when it stops being service.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you really got it. When you start feeling that, or maybe those feelings are creeping in, that's a pretty good indication that you got to do some sort of heart check at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Unfortunately, we've seen this time and time again in the church.
Yeah.
Where we'll have our brothers and sisters with the right attitude, with the right heart of service, and then something happens. Maybe they weren't noticed. Maybe they weren't acknowledged mm-hmm. for whatever it is that they were doing. They weren't seen. And so what happens is they start to kind of feel some type of way. They get mm-hmm. in their feelings about that.
Yep.
And then those feelings start becoming vocal.
Yeah.
And then there's that toxic conversation, which I think complaining mm-hmm. is toxic conversation. You start grumbling to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes the atmosphere. That starts to fill the atmosphere. And once that sets into the atmosphere, that's when anger starts to set in.
Mm-hmm.
And when anger starts to set in, anger unchecked leads to sin.
That's it.
And we never want that to be the case. You see, we never want anybody to get so far off in the heart and lose their heart of service, the original heart of service, that they end up deciding, okay, well, they start complaining, they feel entitled, they start with the toxic, and then what happens? They leave the church.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And then they go to another church and the same thing happens.
Right.
And then they go to another church and the same
thing happens.
You see, we gotta be careful that our service does not become sin.
That's right.
Man, and there's a very fine line where that is. See, service, let's not forget that service is designed to bring the house together, not tear it apart.
That's right.
But people complain because they feel entitled, not realizing that entitlement is the enemy to service.
Come on.
Let's not forget that. Entitlement is the enemy to service. Galatians 5:13 through 14 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Rather, serve one another humbly mm-hmm. in love. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." If you want to serve out of the right heart, you must always serve in love.
I love that.
Love is what cancels out bitterness. Love is what cancels out entitlement. Love is what cancels out those feelings that that become angry, that well up inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you allow those little things, once you allow those feelings to creep in, like I said, they become sinful.
Yeah.
And we never want our service to become sinful. So we make sure we serve without complaining.
And I love that. We serve without complaining. But here's the second thing that Peter is encouraging us to do. You don't just serve without complaining. You serve with skill.
Mm.
You serve with skill. Look at what 1 Peter 4:10 says. It says, "Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." I love that. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God gave you the skills to serve.
So good.
I mean, it's very simple, y'all. Like, the reason you have gifts and talents is because God is requiring you to use them for his glory. I see people use their gifts and talents for all kinds of things, but won't lift a finger to bless God's house and bless God's people. It drives me nuts, man. I love everybody. Yes, everybody is family. But if you actually look at the amount of people that actually attend church and then look at the amount of people that serve in church, man, this is why Jesus will say things like, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, because so many workers have skills that they're not using for God.
Wow.
It's crazy to me. Like, I see people use the gifts that God gave them to advance their career. I see people use the gifts that God gave them to bless their family. I see people use the gifts that God gave them to make money. I see people use the gifts that God gave them to become famous. And then they say things like, after my business blows up, after my family is set, after my bank account is good, man, when I get on top, then I will give God the glory. There's a problem with that line of thinking, though, because when you only give God the glory after your gifts get you where you want to be, you miss out on giving God glory along the entire journey.
Wow.
I don't want to just give God the glory when I get to the end. I want to give him glory every moment I wake up, every time I use the gift that I know he gave me. Because when I give him glory, I acknowledge that it is him who is working through me and not me just working for myself.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, like my skills don't just give God glory when I use them to get what I want. No. God, when he gets what he wants, that happens when I use my skills to serve people at all times along the way. Not just using my gifts for my selfish desires, but using my gifts at all times to bless others and serve God. Like, God gets the glory when I use or when you use your gift to sing or play an instrument to lead others in praise and worship. God gets the glory when you use your gift of administration to help the church get in order. God gets the glory when you use your gift of connection with children and youth to be able to lift up the next generation of leaders in church serving in kids or in youth. God gets the glory when you use your gift of technology or social media to keep the church relevant in the digital world.
Yeah.
God gets the glory when you use your gift to build things and construct things and use those hands to create buildings and structures for God's purposes. God gets the glory when you use your gift of writing the right inspirational articles and stories that will encourage God's people. God gets the glory when you use your gift of editing or production to make the church a virtual experience on a level that the world has never seen. God gets the glory when you use your gift of property and development to acquire land and develop property on earth so that the church can be owners instead of borrowers. God gets the glory when you use your gift of compassion to take care of the widow and the orphan and the disenfranchised. God gets the glory when you use the gift of giving to finance projects that nobody else in the church can finance and lighten the financial burden for God's people. God gets the glory when you use your gift as a connector or a networker to invite people and connect them into God's house. And God gets the glory when you use a gift of prayer to cast down demonic strongholds that will stop people in God's kingdom from advancing. God gets the glory when you use your gift for him, because every gift that we have, the only reason we have it is to serve God and serve God's people.
Amen.
Listen to me clearly. Don't get so caught up in using your skills for yourself that you don't use your skills for God.
Mm.
You serve well when you serve with your skills in God's house. We shouldn't have to ask anybody to sign up for service, because when you know that your skills are only a gift from God, then it is your job to give them back to him by using them in his house.
Amen. And it's so interesting that so many people want God to bless them in their skill, but have they used their skill to bless his house?
Come on.
We serve God with skill, but also we serve God with strength.
Mm.
Let's look at 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much, because it tells us something so clear. We gotta serve strong.
Amen.
See, I thought I understood what real service was, and then this global pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, like the amount of chaos and things that have happened in this time is unfathomable. And we could have, one thing I will say I'm very proud of, our Cool Church family, we could have shrunk back. But what I love so much that has been happening here at Cool Church is that we have leaned into service more than we ever have. Mm-hmm. Even with this Summer of Service campaign that we've been working towards the entire summer, I mean, we've been serving the homeless, serving the nursing homes, serving people and families and schools and educators and even medical professionals with all different kinds of things. And I love that. We don't shrink back. Now is not the time for the people of God to shrink back, but it's time for us to stand up and serve the kingdom by serving the people in our communities, wow, in our cities, in the world.
Amen.
See, we are the answer. We have the answer. We have to move forward in strength, serving all of the people around us. So in these times, but if I'm really honest, like in these times, because it's been so long, I get it. It's been a long journey and it's still going on. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, we're going to be in this season for quite a while,
yeah,
until Jesus decides that it's not that it's time to move on. But this season has really kind of weighed down on a lot of our family, a lot of our brothers and sisters, man. And I could see a little bit of like the heart of service kind of withering down. Mm. I feel like there's some people that are losing heart in service, and and I've noticed that. And what happens is I think that we've become so focused, and we're almost anxiously awaiting the return of the normal that we were used to, right?
Yeah.
And I believe that that is such a, when we do that, when we sit and we're just waiting for things to go back to the way they used to be, what we're doing is we're missing out on the blessing and the season that God has for us right now. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake, I believe that in this pandemic, those that push forward in service, those that don't lose heart, those that move forward in strength, oh, God has a double portion for you in Jesus' name. I believe that he will give you double for your trouble.
Amen.
It's not 2020 for no reason.
Right.
I believe that God has a special blessing for the men and women who have continued to push forward in strength through service. Amen.
Amen.
See, we can't allow this hard time and this season to take us off course.
That's right.
This is the time for us to go even harder. We got to be more intentional, more focused, more disciplined with our service. See, we can't allow this waiting to make us lazy.
Mm-hmm.
See, I love the word strength. And as I think about all of the ways that we describe strength or the definitions of strength, here's what I find. Courage. Strength is courage. So might I encourage you to have more courage, courage enough to serve even when the season looks bleak.
Amen.
Power, strength is power. Use the power that's inside of you to serve. Energy, strength is energy. The Holy Spirit energizes us when the flesh wants to be lazy. Durability, vigor, stability, all of those words mean strength. And I love that because we're not durable, vigorous, or stable because of who we are. We are because he is strong, because he is durable, because he is vigorous, because he is stable. And when we are in him, we become strong. I love that. Too many of us are letting this pandemic beat us or eat away at our will to serve with strength and intention. We have to fight. We got to get our backbone back. We got to keep on serving. Why? Because God deserves our best.
Amen.
Hebrews 6:10 promises us. Listen to this. I love it. Like, I love to find God's promises to us in the Word. I believe the Bible is a book filled with promises.
That's right.
And here's one of us. God, here's one of them. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them.
Mm-hmm.
We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. What does that mean? Don't give up. Even when it's hard, we're getting towards the finish line. You don't throw in the towel when you're at the finish line. You keep and you push harder so that you can make it all the way through and realize those things that you've been hoping for. Verse 12, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised.
Amen.
See, the Bible is teaching us to stay diligent all the way to the end. Because he doesn't want, the Bible is telling us not to be lazy in our service, especially in this time. He's looking for men. God is looking for men and women. That's you and me to keep pushing through all the way to the end, especially in these uneasy times. People that live a life of service have to be strong. And I love that. They have to be strong. Why? Because they're always going to keep showing up. The strength gives them what they need to keep showing up. And I love that 1 Peter 4:11 tells us that they should do so in the strength, with the strength that God provides.
See, I love that.
The strength doesn't come from you. Good news, you don't have to produce it. God gives it to us.
Amen.
It's up to us to apply it, use it, and push forward with it to serve his house. There are some people, I would say, man, don't you think that there are some people who have taken service to another level in this time at Cool Church?
Absolutely. There are folks that exemplify the word that we're talking about.
Yeah.
They serve without complaining.
Yeah.
They serve with skill and they serve with strength, man. They serve strong. I personally know some folks that serve strong, and in the spirit of honor, I just want to honor some folks that have constantly served throughout this time of this pandemic. I think about Keshana Guzman, who is an amazing real estate agent in this time of this crazy pandemic, when the housing market is all upside down and crazy. She's doing that, but she's in the background behind the scenes every week making sure that all the ins and outs and the inner workings of Cool Church are functioning properly without concern for who sees her. If I didn't tell you, you wouldn't even know that it happened. But then I also think about Jimmy and Cindy Douglas, who during the crisis actually had COVID. God healed them. They were both on ventilators.
Amen.
But now Jimmy, he is right back on the worship team. You see him playing keys. And I think of Cindy, who was one of our marriage mentors, and she goes nonstop trying to be a blessing and a counselor to folks that need her in this time. I think of Tiffany and Melissa and Lalu and Rapson and Joel, James, Taisha, Annie,
Jason.
Jevinson, Sophia, Amaya, Brianna, Jing, Kevin, and Jason, and all the worship team who have literally risked their health since this pandemic started to come into this studio with mask on and social distancing, just so that you have praise and worship every week. I think about Betty, who has had surgery during this time of this pandemic, and as soon as she was ready to go, as soon as she got up out that hospital bed, she started serving again, and she's been responsible for making these cool environments that you see. I think of Padrika, who has lost loved ones, man, and car accidents and all kinds of random things, but man, she still serves harder now than she's ever served before.
Amen.
Man, she's one of our prayer warriors. She's key to our outreach and our environments as well. And then I think about people like Pat Lolo and Judith and Maria and the entire kids team who have faithfully been serving throughout the time of this pandemic, so that they bring your children two services every week on Friday night and on Sunday morning, just so our cool kids can stay connected.
Yes.
Then I think about Katusia and Kerline and Joanne and all of the cool storytellers who've been telling the story of Cool Church on social media so that y'all can keep up with us while they're going through the drama of their own lives. I think of Karina and all the cool moves, man, who have continued to help the church that is created out of love stay creative throughout this entire pandemic. Then I think of Danny and Ray and Hector and Steph and David and Amanda and Callie and Jazz and Will and Valerie and Sabrina and Tatiana and Matthew and Michaela and J-Raw, who started Cool Youth in the middle of a pandemic.
Who does that?
I've never heard of somebody starting a youth group where they cannot meet youth in person, but every Friday night they are connecting with your teenagers, and we are seeing the next generation saved by the cause of Christ because they care enough to engage with them. And then I love Stephanie and Katie and all the fam and Cool Culture who has fought to add to the church in the pandemic. They still doing Cool Culture classes. They still putting new people on team. They're still making sure people get connected. Then I think about Nerlene and the May family and Mercedes and all the folks on the data team that have fought to keep us organized behind the scenes. And if I did not say their names, you might not ever know who they are, but they're always on laptops checking all the data to make sure we have the right information to make the right decisions. And then I think about Harold and Sherry and Susanna and Norris and Nelly and the rest of the host team who are chatting with you online right now while we are presenting this service to you to make sure you feel connected to the house. And I can't forget Clarence and Donovan and Corenzo and Frank and Elton and Andre, who are our church security team that though they might not have been securing us during this time of this pandemic, every time we do an outreach, they go out with their squads and they make sure that the people that are serving are safe. And I cannot forget Ben and Faith, who are behind cameras right now, making sure that you see this service. We have not missed one Sunday yet this pandemic because they are making sure that they are recording it. They are making sure that they are editing it, and they are making sure that it gets streamed right to your home, right where you are. Because when you couldn't come to get the gospel, we made sure we brought the gospel to you. And I cannot forget Mitzi and Sandy and Yari and all the Cool Cares and the hospitality team. Though even though they're dealing with their families and the stresses that come with this time of life, they started Summer of Service and they've allowed us to be in the community each and every week doing something to show this community that we care. And man, most of all, I can't forget my own mother, Mama Jermaine, who has been calling people. Some of y'all be getting calls from an old lady that's been praying for you because she loves you, an old little island lady, and she won't stop because she loves to pray for you. Why? Because she does it with the heart of service. I want you to hear me. Cool Church is not just a church that serves. We are a church that serves strong, and we serve strong in every season. We don't let the season dictate our service. We allow our service to change the season. Why? Because we don't serve for man. We serve for the audience of one. We serve for a God who sits on high and gives us the strength to serve. Because when we serve well and people see the excellence in our service points back to Jesus and he gets all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are a church that knows how to serve. And the only reason we can serve and serve well and serve strong, it's because Jesus served us first. We serve because he served. For the Son of Man, I'm going to say it again, did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. There are folks out there and you feel like you've lived a life without anybody ever serving you. You don't know what good service is. I want you to understand that Jesus has been serving you before you ever even got here. He served you on the cross, and he sits on the right hand of the Father, and he serves you right now. Because while the enemy's telling lies about you, all he's doing is serving up how amazing you are to the Father in heaven, because he loves you. Jesus' entire existence is about serving us. Even when we don't deserve to be served, Jesus served you because he loved you. And he showed us what the greatest act of service was on the cross of Calvary. You see, it ain't service if there ain't sacrifice. And Jesus sacrificed in order to serve us all. I don't know where you are today, but if you say, man, I want to serve the God that served me first. If that's you, his name is Jesus, and he is waiting to love you with open arms. He served you before you ever even knew he existed, and now that you know, he's gonna continue to serve you because that's who he is. It's who he is, and it's what he does. He serves you because he loves you. If you want Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, and you heard this message about service, our Savior wants to serve you today, because that's what he does. And if you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, on the count of three, I'm just asking you, wherever you are, just raise your hand. Don't worry about the people around you. Maybe you're by yourself. It doesn't matter. And the thing about raising your hand is, God, he doesn't really care about your hand. He cares about your heart. He wants to change you from the inside out. So on the count of three, wherever you are, come on, raise your hand. One, two, three, come on. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to serve the one that served me. There's all kinds of gods that people talk about, but none of them serve you except Jesus. Jesus is the only God that serves. So we serve him. That's you. Bible says in Romans 10:9, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you're saved. That's it. It's really simple. So I'm going to say a prayer and just repeat after me. Say it with your mouth, mean it in your heart, and you're saved. Father God, I've sinned.
I've sinned.
Not proud of it.
Not proud of it.
But I admit it.
But I admit it.
Today,
today,
I lay my sin down.
I lay my sin down.
Take it, I pray.
Take my.
I don't want it anymore.
I don't want it anymore.
I reach to heaven.
I reach to heaven
to receive your forgiveness.
To receive your forgiveness.
To take the place of my sin.
To take the place of my sin.
I ask
that you would accept me
into your wonderful family.
Into your wonderful
today,
family. Today,
I give my life,
completely to you.
I'm yours, Lord.
I'm yours.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. If you said that, you're a brand new creation. And nobody can take that away from you. Now, you serve the God that served you first. And his name is Jesus. Don't let anybody take it away from you. I love what the Bible says. When one comes back to the Father, there's a celebration in heaven. Man, the angels are turning up. Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father, two-stepping right now. They got the greatest banquet out of all time, and it is in your honor. And cool church, man, we're a church that celebrates salvation. Because we want to build the family of God, because that's what we do, build strong families and build strong futures. So on the count of three, come on, start hitting those hearts, start putting those hands up, start hitting those claps. On the count of three, we're going to cheer like we always do. Here we go, one, two, three, come on. Yes, Lord, woo! Hallelujah. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you. Man, we love you. We are so, so proud of you. Thank you for making that decision today. And if this message inspired them, love, what should they do?
Matt, why don't you consider joining the Dream Team and
awesome.
Serving the house?
Come on.
There's going to be a prompt right on the screen right now where you can get information on how you can be a part of the team. There's a place for everybody. The Bible says that you have skill. You have been given skills that can be used to contribute to building the kingdom of God.
I love that. And also, if you made that decision for Christ today,
yeah.
make sure you connect with that number on the screen,
yeah.
or maybe you could raise a hand in the chat. I know there's a hand button in some of the different chat platforms, or you can even type in, man, I just accepted Jesus. And one of our host team will connect with you, get you more information, love on you, pray with you if you need that, right?
Yep.
Hey, if you like what you saw today, make sure you share it. Hit that share button,
yes,
right, love?
Yes, don't keep this good word for yourself. We want to share and make sure that as many people as possible get this word that transforms lives.
Hey, I'm going to pray and bless you out. We got one more week. And man, honestly, if I could be like honest, I think next week is going to be my favorite. It's going to be the grand finale of the Cool Culture series of For the Culture.
Yes.
All right. And our
values,
last and
values.
Awesome, most bestest value is coming up next week. So you don't want to miss it. Tell somebody, reach towards them and bless you before you go in there. Stacy has a quick word for us before we get out of here. Father God, thank you for the greatest people in the world, the people of Cool Church. Bless them as they rise up, as they lie down, as they go out, as they come in their labor and in their leisure. God, surround them with your presence. And God, I pray, if there's any ill among us, God, you make them well. Heal
yes,
them
God.
From whatever is going on in
Jesus,
the name
Jesus,
of
Jesus.
Jesus. God, we also pray for the people of Beirut right now, that you will bring healing and restoration through a tragic situation.
Oh God.
Bless them, God. Let them know that our prayers are with them, every family that has been affected, God. We pray this, and we also pray that this week of our family's life be the best week
yes,
of
Lord.
Their life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen, amen.
Love you, God bless.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.